India seeks a steel tariff exemption from the US. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Trade officials from India and the US are meeting in New Delhi today to avoid tit-for-tat duties under the broader threat of a trade war. India's threatened tariffs on US agricultural products like apples and walnuts if the talks don't succeed. The BBC's Davina Gupta is in Delhi.
India is hoping that the US exempts it from the steel and aluminium tariff that it has imposed. And also, it's looking at easier immigration rules for its skilled workers to the US. India has approached the World Trade Organization against the steel and aluminium tariff imposed by the US. And they did discuss this on the first day as well.
And what does the US want?
The US is looking to access Indian markets. And also, it wants to have a strategic position in the Asian continent for American farmers, iron workers, automobile industry. India is a big market and they want an access without any raised import tariff. India threatened last week that it will raise import tariff on 29 products. It has done in the case of apples and almonds, which is already hurting American farmers. But at the end of the day, the US is relying on India to check the growing power of China. It's also wary of India's relationship with Russia, where it has crucial defense ties. And America wants to have a say in these matters.
Davina Gupta. Let's do the numbers. China's Shanghai Composite Index closed down 1% as the yuan continued to weaken against the dollar. This after the House, worried about China's attempts to acquire American technology, passed a bill to tighten rules on foreign investment. European shares are broadly lower. Now, Margaret Thatcher, Britain's famous conservative prime minister, called it a nation of shopkeepers. Fast forward to today, and her party of business seems to be at war with business. Today, two unlikely bedfellows signed a letter urging the government to speed up Brexit negotiations. The TUC, a national federation of unions, and the Confederation of British Industry said jobs and investment are at risk. The BBC's Rob Watson explains.
What businesses and the unions want is certainty over trading relationships, over issues like customs, wanting to make sure there's regulatory alignment and that there aren't going to be long, long queues at the borders. I mean, they're just worried about how on earth they're going to be able to carry on and make money after Brexit. Just take the car industry. Just the Japanese who are here in the UK. In a calendar month, 500,000 parts go backwards and forwards. So basically, business is worried that Brexit is going to be hugely damaging, especially if there isn't a good agreement. This is unprecedented. Business has gone from saying these things in private to a Conservative government behind closed doors to Theresa May repeatedly. Because they're not hearing what they want, they're now going public. And the fact that they're doing that just illustrates the level of frustration and anger that they're feeling.
The Conservatives are meant to be the party of business. We've got, what, 9 months to go? Has anything been agreed? Has anything in this Brexit bonanza been signed yet?
One couldn't stress enough just what an extraordinary spectacle this is. The party of business, the Conservatives, at war with business. Essentially, the British government is still negotiating with itself what that future relationship with the European Union should be. And businesses are looking on and saying, what on earth is happening?
Rob Watson. We've been talking about the Turkish economy after President Erdogan won another term this week. And one huge issue that affects it, besides lagging foreign investment and artificially low interest rates, is its 3.5 million Syrian refugee population. The BBC's Ed Butler reports.
Hello. Salam alaikum. Nice to meet you. Hello.
Bauchilar, a working-class district several kilometres away from downtown Istanbul, is home to the Mahmoud family. Ramadan is the father of the house.
We left the house in Damascus because it was bombed.
So how does his wife, Mataya, feel about life in Turkey?
I can't speak Turkish. My kids, they work for long hours, and I need to stay in the whole day in the house, so it makes me upset.
Amina is their youngest daughter.
So I designed pockets.
How old are you?
16 years old.
How long have you been working here?
3 years.
Since you were 13 years old, you've been working in a garment factory.
Yes.
The large number of child workers has become very sensitive, especially since the BBC and other news outlets have exposed the high level of child labour among the Syrian workforce in Turkey.
We've just been joined by a neighbour. How old are you, Ahmed?
12 years old. I work in a sewing factory.
How long have you been working there?
She's in us.
For about 1 year and a half.
Since you were 10 years old? How many hours a day do you work?
12 hours.
Your family depends on the money you're making?
Yes, I support my brothers. One of them is 9 years old and one of them is 7 years old.
Are you jealous of your brothers for going to school?
Of course. My brothers think the job is easy. But for me, I can't stand it. It's so difficult.
People talk of an entire generation of Syrian children like him, stripped of their innocence and now denied the right to a free education. At the local refugee charity Support to Life, the charity director, Sema Genel Kara Osmanola.
The bottom line here is that hundreds of thousands of Syrian workers in Turkey are getting ripped off, basically, in terms of their wages.
Yes, that is the case. I mean, on the one hand, of course, there is a labor force out there that's very attractive, and they're ready to work long hours. Employers need to get work permits for the Syrian workers, but they choose not to. And the government doesn't necessarily enforce that.
The assumption in Turkey has always been that the Syrians would eventually be heading home. But with that conflict still raging, it's hard to see that happening. And Turkey has some tough decisions to make now, whether it's ready to accept the implications and grant its Syrian population the same rights as its citizens.
Ed Butler in Turkey, and in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.